I am a middle-aged man, and what this means is that I tend to obsess over and become kind of like a wannabe expert on things that most other people don't care about, like bird feeders or rain gauges, right? And for me, my craft is loading the dishwasher. I know that for many of you, this is just like a kind of a part of the grind of life, but for those of us in this select group of people, this really is this daily existential journey of sophistication and organization that daily yields forth beautiful art, and the dishes are loaded properly. And I'm gonna help you all. I don't want to share with you all the secrets because I want to give room for your own self-discovery. But one of the things, if you do want to load a dishwasher so that all of creation sings for joy with you, one of the things you need to do is not just simply haphazardly put dishes in, but you need to sort of have all the dishes you want to put in assembled on top of the dishwasher. Because this is so you can see everything that has to go in. You have the most information, and then you can organize it correctly, right? You need to know all of the pieces of the puzzle in order to put it together so beautifully. Am I right? Yeah, okay. So anyway, but what I'm trying to get at here is that when you really want to make good decisions in life, and you want to execute on a job, fulfill an obligation, respond to a call for help, you want information. Because if you have the right information, then you can do the job. You can think through kind of how things will play themselves out, avoid pitfalls, and so forth. Well, today we have the call of Mary. And Mary is called into a task certainly more important than loading a dishwasher. In fact, Mary is given the task. You could argue up to this point in human history, there has never been a more important task than that which Mary is commissioned. And Mary is called, she is invited, she is summoned to bear Jesus in her womb, to bear the eternal Son of God and give birth. Again, you can't have come up with something more important of a task than this, one you'd really want to do correctly. But what information is Mary given here? Well, Mary is told it's going to be a boy, and the father isn't going to be Joseph, but the Holy Spirit. There's going to be an earthly kingdom that grows out of King David's ancient reign, and this kingdom is going to be holy and eternal. That's all she's got to go on. Right? I mean, I think of when we had our children, we got that big, thick book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. I mean, Mary needs to read What to Expect When All the Expectations of All Time Are in Your Womb. But she's not given anything. I mean, really, she's given almost nothing to know about how to raise the child, what special needs the child will have, what potential calamities will befall the Son of God in human flesh. She's given none of it. None of it. She's given so little information. So why does God not share with her more information, give her more of a playbook or sort of a manual with the troubleshooting section at the end? Well, before we get to that, I want to think about the calls in your life. Today, again, is the call of Mary, but in your life, you also have been called. Not likely by the angel Gabriel, and almost certainly not for something that's as universally significant as what Mary had to do, but consequential and meaningful to God, important enough that God called you to it. You see, there are times in life, and I'm sure you've had this experience, where you get a request for somebody to help you, or there becomes something that's sort of an opportunity, a relationship that just sort of starts coming your way, and you have this sense of sort of like a sort of a gravitational, a spiritual pull towards that task, and you have this emerging conviction that this is actually not just a good thing, but this is somehow that to which God is calling you. And that could be in the case of a pregnancy and like marry your own biological children or grandchildren. This could be like Joseph, where there's a child that suddenly you have a role to play in that child's life you didn't anticipate. It could be about starting a relationship or maybe ending one. It could be a sort of a task at your job or in your community, at the church, in the nation, in the world, where you just have a conviction that somehow God is drawing you forth into the unknown to move ahead and to trust the Lord and to serve and to help others. And sometimes we're given more information than Mary. But a lot of times in life, we just don't get all the details. We're left needing to make a decision without sort of all the dishes in alignment there. We've got to move ahead. So why is it that God doesn't give Mary more information? And why is it that God, when God calls us, doesn't kind of give us the detailed playbook of how this will unfold? Well, I don't know for sure, but I think about Mary's case. And I wonder if the angel Gabriel had said to Mary, well, this is how it's going to play itself out. There's going to be a whole census by the emperor, and then you're going to have to get on a donkey and go to another town and give birth there. There's not going to be a lot of room for you. And then once that happens, Joseph is going to have a dream, and that dream is going to tell you you're going to have to go live in Egypt for a while because Herod's going to want to kill Jesus. And then once you get back, he's going to grow up, and then he's going to do kinds of crazy stuff that's going to get him in all sorts of trouble, bring shame to your family, and eventually he's going to get killed on a cross. And he will rise after 3 days, but then he'll be gone 40 days after that. I don't think Mary says yes. I think Mary would say, whoa, let's go back. Whoa, time out. It turns out that for Mary, when she responds to the call, when she responds to the call, it turns out there's going to be a cross. And for Mary, it's the literal cross on which Jesus died. But for all of us, when we say yes to callings in our lives, it turns out that there's a pretty good chance there's going to be a cross there as well. Again, a pretty good chance that when we say yes to callings in our life of work and relationship, that there's going to be a cross, and that eventually the realities of suffering, the realities of situations that arise because of our sin or the sins of other people are going to come our way. This week I was at my door, and there was somebody there who was to pick up one of my daughter's friends. And I started conversing with the person, and I guess I just asked the right series of questions. And it began at almost like a 30-minute. The person just opened up and just told this just crazy story of what their life has been like. And it involves an accident and lawyers and employers and deceit and dishonesty and heartache and uncertainty and health insurance denials and like the whole entire thing of mental and emotional and physical healing that is but isn't happening all at the same time. And I was just overwhelmed. And the person clearly just has been through like a living hell now for about 2+ years. And I wondered, and I thought about this person, and I said, you know, he years ago pledged that he would have love and faithfulness in sickness and in health. Could have he known what it meant at that point, what in sickness and in health was actually going to look like for him and for his wife? When he said, yeah, let's do it, let's have kids, we want to have kids, could have he known all that this would entail for them as they went as a family through this chapter? I don't think so. And in fact, I think most of us in life, if we knew kind of all the challenges that would inevitably face us throughout the course of our days, I don't think we'd get out of bed a lot of days. We'd just be too overwhelmed by the reality of the future crosses that and ultimately would come to us. God knows what we really need isn't more knowledge. Certainly some of it can be nice, but what we really need is something else. For God equips the called, and God has called Mary, and so God equips Mary. And I want to sort of talk about kind of almost two tools that Mary has, one for her left and one for her right. And the first tool that Mary is given is a wise friend in Elizabeth. Again, the first tool that Mary is given is a wise friend in Elizabeth. Mary is a teenager in this story, and what shows that she's a teenager, of course, is when the biggest emotional calamity in her life happens to her, does she go to her mom and dad? No. If she were under 10, she goes to mom. She's over 25, she goes to mom. She doesn't go to mom and dad. She goes to Aunt Elizabeth, Aunt Liz. And she kind of goes, and she needs to get out. She needs to tell somebody what's going on. The angel Gabriel says, points her in this direction, reminds her that she's not alone, and that she has a friend, a wise friend, somebody who's a generation older, who's kind of been there, seen more of life, and can give her this counsel. This is why we have godparents. This is why we have confirmation mentors and Sunday school teachers. Why so many of us want to serve as teachers and coaches, because we know that especially in those youth years, people need older mentors, not just their parents. But whether or not we're a teen or sort of raising teens, all of us in life are overwhelmed, thinking we need knowledge, but really we need wisdom and friendship. And the Lord provides for us. And I'm willing to wager that in your life at some point you've been that Aunt Liz or that Uncle Zach who was a safe space and could listen to somebody. And in your life you've probably almost certainly again had an Aunt Liz or an Uncle Zach, somebody who you could go to, a teacher, a coach, a mentor, a friend, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a youth director, somebody you could turn to and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what's going on right now because I don't know what to do. I'm not ready to say yes yet to what God has called me forth. But Mary has been given and been equipped with more than simply wise friends. She's given the promise. She's given the promise, and the word of promise for her today that finally really opens up her heart is when the angel says, "For nothing shall be impossible with God." And when Mary hears this, she's able to then say, "Here I am, Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the truth is that when Mary goes through life, there's going to be a lot of times, where she's going to ask the same question out loud that she asked the angel. How can this be? Right? When she hears of this imperial decree that she's got to go to Bethlehem. How can this be? What are we to do? And then she can hear and she can recall the words of that angel, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And then she can say, "Lord, here I am. Let it be with me according to your word." When Joseph tells her, "I had a dream last night," and he's in a panic sweat, and he says, I have a dream. We have to leave. We have to leave. We have to go all the way to Egypt to get away from Herod, who wants to kill Jesus. And Mary in a panic, then again, here's the words of that angel. "For nothing shall be impossible with God." And she knows that there's a way forward, and she can say to herself, "Lord, here I am. Let it be with me according to your word." When Jesus isn't there on the caravan, and he's back in Jerusalem, and she's running around this crowded, smelly city, and she's panicking, has she let God down? What will happen? She hears the words of the angel, and she hears, "For nothing shall be impossible with God." And she knows it's going to be okay, and she can say, "Lord, here I am. Let it be with me according to your word." And finally, when Jesus gets himself in all sorts of trouble for reasons Mary can't possibly understand, and she's there at the cross, and she's seen Jesus stretched out, praying, crying out, and she thinks in this valley of the shadow of death, how can this be? She hears the voice of the angel that says, "Nothing will be impossible for God." And she can look at John, embrace him, and say, "Lord, let it be with me according to your word." And when she's walking to the tomb, and she hears this earthquake, and she's recalling with trauma all the events that have happened, and she sees the stone rolled away and an angel. What drops into her head but those words? "For nothing will be impossible with God." And she can say, "Here I am, Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." I don't know in your life what God has called you to, and I don't know all the crosses that you're bearing. I know that just this week of a spouse who tells me that their spouse has cancer now, of a father who tells me that their daughter now has anorexia. I don't know what crosses you're being asked to bear this week. But I know that you too have the word of promise. So that when you get that call and you get that call of a diagnosis and you say, how can this be? I don't have the money. I don't have the heart. I don't know. I can't do it. You can hear the words of the angel from Mary to you, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then you can say, here I am, Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And when you go through life and you take care of your loved ones and you see now that the corner has passed, that they are not long for this world, and you're not ready for it. How can this be? And you can hear the words of the angel, for nothing shall be impossible with God. And you can say to yourself and then to the Lord, Lord, here I am. Let it be with me according to your word. And when you yourself, and this day all comes for all of us, when we realize that our time is done, that we have fought the good fight and we have run the race, we have nothing more to give, and we can then say, when we hear the words of that angel, that nothing will be impossible with God, that we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. My sins are forgiven. And so, Lord, here I am. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen.